BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
His Thursday's podcast includes Real or No Real and some exciting news about Eamon Holmes' hips. Have you been offered a part in a reality show and then bottled it? And Rachel Riley, the best at innuendo bingo, makes a triumphant return.
This is
the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
Morning, everyone. Hi, it's Scott on Breakfast. Thank you, Adele. This jacket that I've put on this morning has got money inside it and I can't get it out.
Oh, what a struggle for you.
It's like it's in the sleeve. Now, how do I get that out?
Do you know what that is? That's a money jacket. It's made of money.
It's not. It's like it's obviously like a couple of 2p's in there, but I noticed it when I wore it the other day. It's like, I was talking on air and I was like, it's a... 8:15, and I'm like, what is that jangling?
I noticed that as well.
It's because it's in the sleeve and I can't get it out. Do you reckon the lining's obviously broke and the money's gone down there? So, sleeve of money.
But even you've done well to get the money inside the coat like that.
Yeah.
Your coat is lined with money. Is it padded out with cash? Is it nice and warm with all that cash in there?
I can feel them there. There they are.
Look.
Weird.
Literally made of money.
So I turned up this morning, went to make a coffee, as I always do, and a shadowy figure emerges from one of the meeting rooms here at Radio 1 and opens the door, goes, morning, and it's you!
I had a small top-up sleep when
What are you doing in
work.
There?
Shouldn't really be saying it, but I will. I arrived here at work, I still felt I needed a little bit more sleep, so I found a little room to go hide in, and I had an 8-minute sleep.
Oh, that's going to make a whole lot of difference.
I feel good now.
8 minutes is not going to help. Also, you got some injuries that we need to talk about.
Oof.
All we do, it's not the rash, don't worry.
This is
Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Because we don't normally do these hours, I think that it's all sending all of us, without exception, a bit mad. Chris, you played football yesterday for the first time in years, right?
In years. I've played for the first time properly in probably a year.
Okay.
So it's not been that long.
Mm. And how was it?
Painful. Mm. Really painful. But I don't know why I decided to start this week, but I saw that a local team was advertising for players. So it's not even like, really, I'm worried about saying something that might offend my new friends, but I didn't know anyone there.
Well, you won't see them again.
Yes, I will. I'll be back next Wednesday.
Oh, you're going again?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Oh, right.
If I can recover in time.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely came off worse there from what I'm seeing on your body today.
Yeah, so I've showed you my injuries.
Yeah.
But there was...
Well, you've not just shown me, you've shown everybody, 3 people so far.
Well, no,
just rolled
no.
up the trouser there.
No, I'm not going around systematically showing it. I showed you.
Look at me,
and then you said to the other guys here, have a look at his injuries there. Have a look at his injuries.
Hey, what happened? That's a bad bruise.
It's a bad bruise, yeah. One guy...
It's one of those purple-blue ones. Ugh!
So I'll tell you what it is. There was one guy, I didn't wear shin pads, that was an error, but luckily I got away with it. But there was one guy there who I don't think is a massive fan of this show.
Right.
Or that is the distinct impression I got, because everyone else was quite polite. This one guy was so gobby the whole game.
And did you tell them you were on the radio?
No. No, no.
You think he knew?
I suspect he might have known.
Okay.
So at one point I was in the corner. We should take you to play five-a-side at some point and blow your mind, right? Mm. So it's like a cage.
Right.
So can you imagine that?
You're in a cage.
Yeah, it's like a cage. A small football pitch.
Yeah.
And then at one point I was right in the corner and you have both hands against the fence there because the ball is right in the corner, right?
Okay.
And you know, unless you get the ball out of the corner, someone is going to go right through you.
Right.
And you can feel them coming from behind. You can sense that they're on their way.
It sounds actually quite up my street.
And this guy... Sure, like I managed to turn around to get the ball out of the corner.
Is this the guy that doesn't like you?
I think so.
Okay.
And he just went boof straight through me.
When you say through me, what does that mean?
like he tackled hard.
Right.
Firm and hard.
And that's where the bruise comes from.
And then I've obviously got this bruise today.
And you're walking funny as well.
I'm walking funny because of the state of my fitness. But I am going to get fitter. And then next week, I'm going to... I reckon 1 or 2 weeks more time, I'll be back to how I was.
Fair play.
Mm.
Well, you've tried something different. You've not done it for a while. But it's not something you would do if we were doing the afternoon show. Probably.
Do you think?
No, I don't know.
And what have you done to better yourself this week?
Well, I made a fish stew from scratch yesterday, and I wouldn't normally do that.
A fish stew?
Yeah.
Is that one?
Why did I pick that? Also, cooking is long, isn't it? I thought I'll just do something to, you know, just try and relax. There I am zesting a lemon. What's the point? I'm going to go back to just microwave meals from today.
So did you follow a recipe for that?
Yes.
Fish stew.
I wouldn't do that.
I can't believe you did a fish stew.
I had to buy fennel seeds. What's that?
Yeah, that's mad. You know you're cooking properly if it involves fennel.
Oh, I can't be bothered with
it. On Saturday Kitchen.
And also I ate it and it was all right. It wasn't like I could have bought something better from the shop, ready made. It was fine.
Fish stew.
Yeah, but it took hours and hours. And I'm like, I tasted it expecting it to be amazing because of all my hard work on it. Actually, it was really average. And then we've got our producer who decided to go on an aimless bike ride because he felt a bit weird and gross at about 7 p.m. Then realised he had nowhere to go and came back.
That's really
everyone's
rubbish.
Going mad. The Scott Mills Daily. We've had baking on television. We've had pottery. We've had sewing. We've had gardening. Do you know what was on last night, Chris?
What?
The latest thing. Caravanning.
Now on BBC Two, before five-star Babies at Nine, the search is on for Caravanner of the Year, a cutthroat caravanning competition where a floppy awning is worse than a soggy bottom.
This is like the Great British Caravan Off.
Caravanning?
Yes.
I thought that was a term for something else.
No, it's definitely people that just love to be in the caravans.
Fine.
And know everything about them. And all the best activities go on the caravan sites.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We've got welly wanging at 11:30.
Why would you not want to do that? Welly wanging, easy, at 11:30.
What actually is welly wanging?
It's just throwing wellies, isn't it?
But is it a distance thing?
Oh, yeah, it's as far as you can go. No, it's just like distance throwing it.
Is it? Do you have to throw them over a building?
No, just like it's. I think, I don't know, over your shoulder?
You're not a welly wanger.
I've never done it, but it's on at 11:30.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got welly wanging at 11:30.
Listen to this guy, Keith, who's a keen caravanner, and likens caravanning to the moon landing.
You've got to stop at trying to be 100% perfect, because you never finish anything. Even the lunar landings didn't aim for 100%.
Not the same, Keith.
What?
And check out David, massive fan of the caravans.
At 42, David Bird is the competition's youngest competitor. He claims to have an encyclopedic knowledge of caravans.
15 Pursuit. That's got the extra pack on it with the, you know, the sunroof out of the motorhome.
Most of it acquired while dragging his 81-year-old mum, Gwyneth, around caravan showrooms.
When I first started seeing this, I was like, is this a parody? But it's a real thing.
What a dude. So he knows everything that you need to know about caravans.
And takes his mum. But what I still don't understand is, what is caravanning? I understand that you're in a caravan and you know a lot about them, but how do you caravan? Do you know what I mean?
It's just caravans in dangerous places, isn't
it? How do you become caravanner of the year?
I suppose it's how you tend to your caravan.
Dan's been on. Don't diss the caravanners. So it's Dan.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
All rise. Chris obviously stands every time this gets played. This is BBC Radio 1. As we all know, today is a hugely important day. And it's the birthday of someone that we here in Great Britain truly adore. I cannot actually believe I'm saying this. It's very exciting that we've got hold of this lady on her birthday, as she reaches such a remarkable milestone. Good morning, Abby.
Hi.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Did you like your build-up?
Yeah, how good is that? So exciting.
Should we go full birthday for you?
Yeah, go for it.
we could have found a better version of that, I feel. but you get the idea.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Many more. Sorry to all the people that thought we actually had the Queen on, as if. What are your plans for the rest of the day, Abby?
I've got an exam tomorrow, so we're just going for a couple of drinks tonight and then proper celebrating on Saturday.
And how old are you today?
I'm 19.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Are you buzzing to share the same birthday as the Queen?
It's fine, but she always overshadows you a little bit.
No, she doesn't.
She does. When you put on the news in the morning, it's like, happy birthday to the Queen.
Yeah, I mean, you've had this for 19 years now. You're used to it.
Yeah, very true.
Hey, you know Real or No Real, don't you?
Yeah, I love Real or No Real.
Shall we play the game together?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
Here we go, then.
Your feet can produce up to 1 pint of sweat per day.
Oh, it's minging.
It's disgusting.
I'm so sorry if you're eating your breakfast right now. That puts you right up your Cheerios, doesn't it?
Is that on average or is that like special cases? Do you know what I mean?
Well, it says can produce.
Yeah.
So imagine if that's, you know, if you had a pretty hot day.
Yeah, or if you were really using your foot vigorously for a whole day. Do you know what I mean? The potential is there to get a what? Was it a pint?
A pint of sweat.
A pint is quite a lot.
Birthday drinks.
Cheers. That's horrible, isn't it? A pint is a lot.
No, I think that's way too much.
Are your feet sweaty?
No, they're actually okay just now. I'm just in the shower.
Question of the day there.
Yeah.
What a thought. I apologise for that, Abby.
That's okay.
Didn't really know where to go there.
It's just tricky with the sweat banter.
Yeah. What about you? Do you think yours have ever produced a pint?
I'm just thinking for sport relief, maybe, or something like that. It would be an achievement. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's something to go for.
This is up there with one of the rankest facts we've ever had.
Yeah, I think we all want to move on from it.
Okay, what are you saying then? Real or no real?
Oh, the potential to get a pint of sweat. Oh, I don't think this is possible. No real.
Abby?
Yeah, I definitely think no real as well.
That one is real.
No way.
There are 250,000 sweat glands in each pair of feet, which means that on a hot day, with a lot of walking or running, your feet could produce a pint of sweat. Lovely.
Ew.
And next.
The Saturdays have sampled a sing-along Instagram post of Cruz Beckham and will be releasing it as their next single.
Are the Saturdays still on?
I
thought they split up.
Yeah, I thought they'd split up as well.
I can't remember them ever splitting, but I'm just wondering if they're still here.
Abby, were you a fan of the Saturdays?
I did, actually. I really liked the Saturdays because I used to love with the S Club Juniors that a few of them were in.
Yeah.
Abby, favourite Saturday song?
Oh, I don't know. I can't
What's
think of any now. You came in the spot.
What's the one? And you keep on missing out the word. Higher.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Who has replaced the sort of void in your life since Saturdays have stopped releasing music, Abby?
It was really Girls Aloud was my main girl band, really.
Yeah.
The Saturdays were kind of the void from them.
We kind of need a new one. Little Mix are smashing it, though.
Little Mix, yeah.
So this is Cruz Beckham singing on Victoria's Instagram.
Because I'm hopeful, yes I am, hopeful for today.
So are they sampling that on the new Saturdays track if they are back?
So if I was him, I don't think you would collaborate with the Saturdays. I would collaborate with Sean Paul or Craig David right now.
No, but it's not a collaboration. It's saying that they've just sampled that Instagram.
Oh.
So it's not Cruz Beckham feat the Saturdays.
Oh, it is sweet what he's doing. It could be used as a sample, couldn't it?
I think that might be real.
I just don't think this would be the comeback Saturday single, so I think this is no real.
And be hopeful, hopeful, and he'll make a way. I know we didn't say, but that's okay, just be hopeful.
That one is no real.
Oh. No, the Saturdays haven't sampled Cruz Beckham, but it probably won't be long until someone does, because he's on everywhere. Abby, I'm enjoying this very much, are you?
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Okay, wait there, and we'll return to Real or No Real after this.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, let's get on with the game then.
Top TV presenter Eamon Holmes is 1 inch taller after his recent hip operation.
Oh, bless Eamon. He was tweeting me yesterday. It's good to have him back. He was out of action for a while because hips.
Surely he's losing inches around his hips, though. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, not liposuction. He just have a new one.
Yeah, but you'd get new thin hips, wouldn't you? If you're replacing them.
Yeah. If I've got to have a replacement, I want those.
Yeah, sexy hips.
Yeah. I want hips that don't lie. That's what I want.
Do you know what I mean? He's not going to stick with the old school Eamon hips.
I think it's slightly more technical and scientific than that, Chris, but yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing if it's got the full-on body of Eamon Holmes?
But then but really the, sexy hips.
But like those, like Shakira hips. Oh, I wish someone could Photoshop that. I'd love to see what that would look like.
Face of Eamon, hips of Shakira. Please someone do that for us. I don't think you can be an inch taller because of this, can you?
So is he meant to have grown in length by an inch?
Yes.
Hmm.
And is it on one side?
Yeah, because he got both his hips done, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
I think so. I'm not sure, actually.
Good Eamon Holmes hip knowledge there. Well done, Abby.
We like this morning. We're big fans.
So, well, no, you can't have one side taller than the other.
But if he got them both done, then could he not have grown to, like, the same height on both hips?
What's going on with Eamon Scott? I know you were tweeting him yesterday.
He's back at work and he's feeling fine. But he's back and yes. It's all good.
With new hips.
With new hips. And the TV is a better place for it.
Yeah,
not because
totally.
Of his hips, because he's back. Abby, are Eamon Holmes' hips 1 inch? This is happening. Is he 1 inch taller because hips?
I'm going to say no real, but I've been wrong on the other one, so this one probably will be real.
I don't know why it's going to extend Eamon's length. Do you? Like, his length's not going to change. Just
give me an answer.
Because new hips.
What's the answer?
Think about it. He's still going to be as long as before.
I know.
So no real.
What did you say, Abby?
I said no real, but I think it's probably real.
Well, what are you going for?
Do you know what? That's here's the how the game works, Abby. Yeah. If you think it's real, perhaps go for that.
Okay, I'll go for that then, so it can be different.
That one is real.
Yay!
Yes! He is currently recovering from double hip operation. But Eamon told a newspaper that one of the few advantages of having the surgery is that he is now an inch taller. At the end of that round of Real or No Real...
Do you know what? Truth be told, it's a draw. I got 10, Abby got 10. But you know what? It's your birthday, Abby.
You win.
And so we're just going to let you win today.
Oh, thank you. That's the best birthday present yet.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
And many more.
And many more. BBC Radio 1. The
Scott Mills Daily. Chris, can I ask, can you be a little bit more responsive while we're on breakfast on text? I'm texting you to your phone.
Right.
In the days, and you're just not getting back to me.
Responsive? So I haven't got a text from you?
No, yesterday.
Okay. Well, what's the problem?
Well, you just leave me hanging for ages. I know you've read it. But your communication is not good when we're doing these hours. I don't know why.
Are you telling me off?
I'm just saying, can you reply a bit more often?
Don't tell me off.
It goes, sometimes it's hours and I don't hear from you.
You're not my mum or teacher.
I was trying to make plans for next week. Absolutely no reply.
I said what sort of day, but you cancel me. I offered you plans for this week. You cancel me.
I've got things to do today.
Well, then don't complain when
I'm
I don't
I'm trying
reply.
To organise it for next week, but if you could just reply...
Very quick, good news. Eamon Holmes has been on.
What's he saying?
Because obviously we've been talking about his new
Hello,
sexy,
Eamon,
new
sexy hips.
And anyway, he's
isn't he? Isn't he on Sky News at the moment?
I don't know. I think he listens to this show whilst he's doing other things. That's the impression I get from him.
I think he is on Sky. So maybe what he's doing is when they go to the reports, he's just putting us on.
Yeah. He's tweeted this. Remember, the hips don't lie, but they're better than they used to be. And then he says, play me a tune.
Morning, Eamon. Are you actually listening now? Reply back.
That's quite a test.
Because, quite niche as well, isn't it? Not really involved anyone there apart from one Irish man. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. Right, Sinead, tell me about rich people.
Oh, God, this is so good. Okay, so last night The Times released their annual rich list for musicians. So, yes, we get to see how much money these people have. So they do an overall list and then one for those under 30. Overall, Sir Paul McCartney and wife Nancy Chevelle, she's name checked in there, top the list with, wait for it, 760 million pounds, and that is up 30 million from last year. Just ridiculous.
Whoa.
Yeah. But let's have a look at the young ones. Adele tops that. Probably not much of a surprise there. 85 million. That's up 35 million in the last year.
She's had a good year.
This annoys me a bit.
Why?
This list.
Why is it? I can tell you're annoyed.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that I might stop listening to.
Really?
Yeah, just because it... I don't know why it winds me up.
See, you're the opposite to me because I just love knowing
Do
about
you love this.
I love it so much. It's like Christmas at the moment here.
Mm. Yeah, Chris gets the slight...
It's not a jealousy thing because it's two different situations.
But
do
it does
I mean?
Wind you up and I don't quite know why. Anyway, Adele's got 85 million, Chris.
Yeah, and I'd like to say followed closely behind by Ed Sheeran, but that it's not closely at all because he is 40 million under in number two for the under 30s with just a meagre 45 million.
Is that it?
So then it gets quite interesting because the four remaining members of One Direction are in joint third place with 33 million each.
Yes.
Up 8 million on last year, but Zayn, poor old Zayn, lagging in fourth place with just 30 million. And he only made 5 million in the last year. So he really needs to pick
Come
up the pace.
Come on, step it up, Zayn.
In 2016.
Hang on, but One Direction haven't done much for a while now because they're on hiatus.
Yeah, have you
so they're
seen,
still getting paid.
The rich get richer, Chris.
Yeah.
How's that happening?
You've seen those magazines? Have you seen the T-shirts? Have you seen the bed linen?
Well, they shouldn't be getting any of it if they're not working now.
Oof. It's all about the merch.
It is all about the merch. I totally agree. So if you're wondering how they work this out, so the quote from the Times is it's based on identifiable wealth. So that's land, property, other assets such as art and racehorses. I don't know why they picked that bit out. Or significant shares in publicly quoted companies. So all stuff that you can actually find out. And obviously it excludes bank accounts because they have no access to that.
Oh, so this is just like... Not real money.
So that so they could potentially have more money.
Oh, right, okay.
Than this, and they probably do. And the only person ahead of Adele who's kind of like in the younger spectrum is Calvin Harris. Wait for this. He is estimated to be worth £95 million, making £25 million in the last year alone.
What about Swiftie?
Yeah, so she, I mean, she's basically a pauper next to him. She only she's only worth 55 million.
That really surprises me, you know.
That's what I thought when I saw it.
That he's ahead of her. Yeah. Tell you what, though, they get a good mortgage.
They'll get a cracking mortgage. But you make that sound like she's a gold digger or something then. It's like,
you pauper. Chris just said, we were discussing it before, Chris was like, I mean, they could probably have their pick of the majority of properties.
Yeah, I think they could.
Well, it's like if you turn up to a group viewing, you don't want to see those two there.
No.
Okay, so last night I got to chat to Sheridan Smith.
Love her.
Love her, yeah. She had her opening night of Funny Girl in the West End. Funny you should say that you love her.
Hi, Scott. Hey, I love Scott. I've been on his show. I did the American Boy rap when I was on his show and swore by accident, if he remembers.
Yes, I do. I always remember a swearer.
When we chatted a bit about you, Scott, there was no mention of you, Chris.
Oh, that's kind.
I'm afraid. I mean, I sort of tried to, you know.
Did you? Try to hint towards it.
Yeah, you know, there's not just one person on the show. Was one of the things I said, but she
just ignored it.
She did.
She loves you anyway, you know that. You don't need to be told.
She kissed me on the forehead once.
She did, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
Good times.
So, fair to say she's a bit of a national treasure, but finding that little phrase a bit difficult.
I'm going red. I just think that's like such a... Well, listen, my mum will be loving it. My mum will be like, oh, my daughter is a national treasure. But no, of course I'm not. There's people who do like charity work and things like that, you know, people who save lives. They're national treasures to me.
I don't believe her. She is a national treasure. And as it's the Queen's birthday, 90 today, happy birthday, she wanted to say a little message to the Queen, who is, of course, listening.
Happy birthday, Your Majesty. I curtsy to you, and I hope you have a wonderful day, Mum.
Oh, love her laugh. And whilst we're on the Queen, we've been chatting to the lady who's making her cake, Nadia from the Great British Bake Off. Best quote of the interview.
I just think, what am I doing? I can't believe that I'm actually saying those words. So, yeah, it's really odd. really odd.
Then we tried to prize out of her what the cake will be.
Oh. I'm not allowed to say exactly what I've gone for, but I've gone for a vibrant colour and I've gone for the complete opposite of a traditional cake.
Within 2 seconds...
I've gone for a, rather than a traditional fruit cake, I've gone for a orange drizzle cake that is filled with vanilla buttercream and orange marmalade.
I was going to say, because on the One Show last night, Nadia had her spirit level out and was making the orange drizzle cake. So I was like, why is she not telling you this? She said it on television last night.
Imagine if the Queen was watching. She's like, I really don't like orange marmalade.
I think she's made a massive mistake with this one.
Why?
Should have gone Caterpillar. Standard.
Yeah.
It's birthday, isn't it?
It is birthday.
Massive mistake. Poor thing. Okay, finally then, just a quick one. Anyone off to Reading and Leeds this summer, a load more acts have been announced across all the stages. 70 new additions to the lineup, including Kano, Nas and Spring King. Full lineup additions on the Newsbeat website.
Okay, thank you, Sinead. And to celebrate her having 55 million, let's play our leader. Taylor Swift on BBC Radio 1. Turn it up.
It feels like a perfect night to dress up like hipsters and make fun of our exes.
Most people are like, why is Nadia using a spirit level on the cake to make sure it's even? Isn't it?
Yeah, but why do you need it to be that even?
Because it's for the Queen on her 90th birthday.
Do they write happy birthday on it as well?
I have no idea. And she doesn't even know whether the Queen likes orange drizzle cake. It's a complete... stab in the dark there.
I don't think she will.
No, I don't like it. Send it away.
I don't.
You don't like orange?
I don't think I like the sound of an orange drizzle cake. But she'll pretend to like it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, of course she will. Good luck, Nadia. She's probably baking right now. Also, when she was baking last night on The One Show, I was like, if you're doing it now, won't that be stale by the time it gets to the Queen? That's like 2-day-old cake then, isn't it? Or 1-day-old cake.
She can just pop out and buy one for today, can't she? She just needs to be seen to be making it.
And this is like the most stressful episode of Bake Off ever, isn't it? Good luck, Nadia. It's 7:54 on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Today, I'm pleased to say that Joe Jonas's band, DNCE, are in the live lounge with Clara. We've got that massive song, Cake by the Ocean, at the moment. They are flying into the country as we speak, so we can't chat to them right now, but we had them on our afternoon show a few weeks ago to play Inuetta Bingo. Chris, did you watch Grease live?
I did, actually, only because you told me to, and I saw it on Wetflix. And I thought I wouldn't like it. I got to be honest, I thought it wouldn't really be for me, and I loved it.
What a massive, massive production. So, like we do here with like EastEnders and Coronation Street, they've kind of amped it up, like,
oh, but
took
times,
it up a level.
Times 100, like the live episodes of EastEnders.
This was almost, it was like a movie.
Yeah.
But it was all live, like totally live on US TV.
Also, it was kind of faultless. I was looking for problems or mistakes with it. I really couldn't see any.
Yeah. So Vanessa Hudgens was brilliant in it. Carly Rae Jepsen was also in it and was amazing. And DNCE were the house band at the college. So I asked them a couple of weeks ago if it was stressful to do that in front of millions of viewers.
Absolutely. It was the highest stressful situation we've ever done.
It didn't look like it was stressed.
It was, we walked in like 3 months into them rehearsing. So we walked in kind of blind. We didn't know what was going on. They threw us in these 50 styles outfits and slick backed our hair. And they're like, all right, here we go. You're jumping in. And we were just kind of freaking out. We had to learn all these songs. And ultimately, it was a really cool experience. Like you said, Carly, and there was a huge cast that was so
Vanessa
talented.
Hudgens.
Yeah, Vanessa Hudgens. Julian Huff was incredible. So
great, yeah.
Being part of that whole squad was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, how much rehearsal was there for that? Because, I mean, was it all totally live?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just looking out for the mistakes, but there weren't really many.
I know. Actually, the only mistake we had, we have in the intro, if you watch back, Jessie J's kind of walking through a crowd singing this big song. And
yeah, she's at the start of the...
Yeah, and they have these golf carts kind of circle her.
Yeah.
Our golf cart broke down. So we run outside. We had it all planned. We rehearsed it like maybe 10 times.
Yeah.
We run out. We picked up Jinju because we had to get... She was wearing heels. We had to get in our golf carts real quick. So we get in the golf cart and the guy just tries to start it and he's freaking out. And it's like his spotlight moment to be on camera.
No.
For us, we were just kind of glad that we were like... All right, we one less thing to do.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that looks like a stressful experience, but it all went well. No one fell over.
No, we were good.
Luckily, our job was to play the vaguely untrustworthy rock and roll band, so that we were at home in that role anyway. You know.
I know also you recently performed on the Ellen Show in America, which I was in America and I saw that. And you were on the same show as Obama. Did you meet him?
I've met him. I personally have met him once before.
You have.
But
was that when you were a Jonas Brother?
That was when I was a Jonas Brother.
Yeah. I know you still are. Cool, I mean, I know, you know what I mean.
It was kind of cool because now we just tell people that President Obama opened up for us because he went on the show earlier. So that's all we say. We didn't meet him, though. I think they wanted him to stay away from
us.
They
kept us.
They knew I was in the band. They kept him far away from
us. Is that because of what you were wearing?
I don't know. You know, I mean,
they heard the rumors.
Yeah, I look like an eviction notice, so they probably wanted to keep him away.
Cole, if you could just describe your outfit for us today, because it's incredible.
Today I'm kind of a psychedelic samurai genie, I would say.
Yeah, and where do you buy clothes like that, or do you make them?
You just kind of find them, put them together, cut them up, whatever. Yeah, you guys could pull it off.
We should be doing this.
This is exactly
kind of
what we should be doing.
The worry I think for us two, Scott, is we look nothing like we don't look like we could be part of this band at all.
Even if you dressed like that for a day, I would pay you.
Would you?
Yeah, because I think I don't know whether you'd be able to do it. If you want to describe what's around your neck, there you've got like a chain.
Actually, there's a very British story behind this chain. You know the Isle of Wight?
Yes.
So, you know the ferry that you take to the Isle of Wight?
Yeah.
This is actually the chain that they used to close the snack bar, and I stole it in 2010 and made a necklace out of it.
So hang on, because that's nuts. I've been on that.
I've been
that
on
boat
it.
So yeah, you know, many times.
Yeah, they you know closed the snack bar.
Yeah, there's a missing rope for a reason.
Yeah, this is the chain that closes the snack bar.
And you just saw that and you thought, that's fashion there.
Absolutely.
It's the big chain off the ferry.
They got it all wrong.
Yeah. And that's that turquoise number on your bottom half, what's that, please?
I think these are maternity pants.
Excellent. It's a great look.
Thank you, mate.
Love those guys. And they are in the live lounge with Clara from 12 today.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
So you apply to go on a reality show. You send off the form. And really, you think, well, the chances of them ever getting in touch with you are pretty slim, right?
And you just see the positives, don't you? It's just a nice idea.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, that'd be nice. But you don't actually think it's going to happen. Morning, Florence.
Morning.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm well. How are you?
Good. Has this happened to you?
Yes, this happened to me a few years ago, and that's why I had to text you in, because it made me laugh so much when you were talking about it.
What show did you apply to be on?
So I applied to be on The Bachelor. It was the second season, where it turned out it was Spencer from Maids and Chelsea who was the eligible bachelor for 10 lovely ladies.
That's hilarious. Like, the Bachelor in America is huge, right?
Yeah.
And I think they have it in Australia too, but they're not famous. They're just a hot bloke.
Oh, so different here.
Yeah, it's different here because they always choose people that are quite famous. So
Wasn't Spencer the first one?
Was he the first one?
No, he was the second one. The first one was Charlotte Church's ex.
Yes, Gavin Henson.
Yeah.
Gavin Henson, that's who it was. Yeah.
I forgot that he was the Bachelor.
I know, he was the Bachelor. Spencer just came in, you know, second post.
Can I ask you what made you apply in the first place?
Sure, it was just, again, it was on a whim. It was when I was single. I'm not now, I'm in a lovely relationship now. But yeah, it was when I was single and I thought, well, yeah, why not? Let's just see what happens here. And again, filled in the application, sent it off, and then forgot about it. And then suddenly the dreaded phone call came, and it really caught me off guard.
What did they say?
So they basically just started interviewing me about, you know, what my past relationships were like, and, you know, how I was as a girlfriend, and why my relationship had ended, and what I'm looking for in a relationship. And then after how I sort of came across on the phone, they then said, yeah, we really like how you sound. Come on in for a casting. So I then thought, okay, all right, then I'll go in for a casting.
Oh, no.
I've got very much to lose. And I went in for the casting. And, you know, my antennae started to kind of flicker a little bit when they were like, okay, so what dramas could you cause in the house? And, you know, what could you do to stir things up? Are you the kind of girl who loves an argument? And I'm thinking, not really. I don't really know what I could bring to this. But then they said, you know, what kind of relationship problem did you have where you really came out on top? And I basically told them a story where I found out my boyfriend had cheated on me, and I got the girl in the room, and we both sort of, you know, scheduled a bit of an intervention. And that was what they absolutely loved, that story. And
I think
that's
they
what
did.
Fast-tracked me.
Was that true, that story?
Yeah, that was true.
Amazing. Oh, well, you're a TV producer's dream right now.
know.
So what did you do? You and another girl, I assume that the other girl in question, just kind of cornered him one day.
No, it was, well, basically I found out that he had, you know, done the dirty. And so the girl basically found me and said, this is what's been happening. And I thought, okay, well, he's not going to, you know, be man enough to say it to us face to face. So let's invite him round, thinking it'll just be me and she'll be there and see what happens.
Yes! And what happened?
Oh, if you know when you can see someone's heart stop, that was it.
Slay, Florence.
It was ridiculous. It's probably my finest moment, I think, to this day.
Anyway, back to The Bachelor. Sounds like, yeah, it's all going well.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that got me to the next round. And again, they were, you know, they took my photo and they said, you know, this is how you'd have to look and this is how you'd have to act and are you okay with this and that sort of stuff. Thinking, no, not really. I don't think I want these. I don't think I want this on TV. And then I think the nail in the coffin was when they said, okay, so the next round will be a therapy session. We need to see if you're, you know, actually of a sound mind to go into such a competition. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, I don't really, what kind of sound mind do I have to have?
But at this point, did you really want to be on this show still?
No, I don't think I ever really wanted to be on it. I think it was one of those things where you just glide through.
Yeah, this is like my friend who just applied thinking, oh, it's never going to happen. And then they do the call.
I know, exactly. You think, how far am I going to take this realistically? So, I got to the therapy. Well, I didn't get to the therapy session, thank God. It was at that point where I said, you know what, I don't think this is really for me. And so I kind of changed the way I sort of represented myself and was like, actually, I'm really introvert. I'm really shy. I don't think, no, there's nothing I'd really bring. And I think it was at that point that they thought, oh, okay, she's
lost interest.
She won't be good TV. Let's get rid of her.
So just before the therapy session, you were like, nah, this isn't for me.
No, yeah, exactly. This is not for me. And then I found out it was Spencer from Made in Chelsea and was gutted.
Things could have been so different by now.
I know. I could have been on Made in Chelsea, having the drama with Stephanie Pratt right now.
Exactly.
I know. Well, oh well, next time maybe. Although I think my boyfriend would have an issue with that.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Good to speak to you, Florence. Thank you for sharing.
Okay. No, you're very welcome.
Love you, bye.
Thank you. Love you, bye. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Every time that's on in the studio, we all go... Seriously, I'm becoming Scott Spills again. Have you noticed, when I'm doing this show, I just drop everything.
And what I'm doing it again.
Did you hear that noise then? It's just me just like...
Well, what if you dropped
off the table, a pair of headphones.
Headphones, money.
My jacket's got money in it as well. Don't know how that happened. In the sleeve. Listen.
It's strange.
It's a cash coat. It's like 2p coins in there. Why is that?
He's made of money.
My life's a mess. So we've got here this guy saying that him and his ex-girlfriend were nearly on the first series of Sex Box. They were at some event and they got persuaded to sign up. So they did. Didn't expect to hear anything more. Then the producers rang, took them for a coffee, which they pay for, yes. But in the end, just... pulled out because couldn't bring herself to do it and is now quite happy after seeing the Sex Box show that they swerved that one. Someone else has applied to be on X on the Beach and then thought better of it. That's Sam. A lot of people apply for these shows and then bottle it last minute. That happened to you, didn't it, Neil?
Yes, it did.
What show was it?
Chained.
I don't remember Chained. What's that?
It was a spin-off of Big Brother. It was under the Endemol company, but yeah, it was like a smaller version of the Big Brother show.
What happened in Chained?
The idea was you are physically chained to five members of the opposite sex, and you spend a long period of time on a chain doing everything, literally everything, within, you know, a few feet of...
What?
Yeah, exactly.
So you and five women...
Effectively, yeah, rather than evicting them one by one out of a house, as you would do in Big Brother, you have to evict your least favourite woman off the chain over a period of...
Oh, this sounds...
What a ridiculous idea!
This doesn't sound degrading at all.
How has this show passed me by?
It had one series and then people didn't particularly want to see what was going on because there was lots of, obviously, the inevitable toilet trips and such like. It wasn't exactly a high-quality TV output.
What made you quit?
It got to the very end of the quite elongated process, but I hadn't told anybody that I had a girlfriend.
Oh, so, Neil.
Yeah, so I kind of realised that inevitably I'd have to withdraw. But ironically, a week afterwards, she dumped me.
Oh, so if things had been different, you would have been chained to five girls.
I would have had, yep, and I would have had to have done everything 24/7 for that entire week, chained in the immediate vicinity.
If only you'd known that your girlfriend was going to dump you a week earlier.
If only. I think it may have been a blessing in disguise, to be honest.
Good. Thanks, Neil.
No problem, Scott.
Love you, bye. I like this. Bye. I've got a similar story to Florence. I applied for dinner date after a friend sent me a link. Maybe I'd had a couple of drinks. Cut to me talking to the producer about my massive feet. Cut to me having an interview in my living room where they put all my cuddly toys around me to make me look like a bit of a weirdo.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
1 million hours through BBC Radio 1.
Now, do you remember at the end of last year we launched this campaign, 1 million hours, which is a Radio 1 year long campaign to get loads of you to give, not money, but some of your time to charities and good causes, and you'll just come out of it feeling like a better person. You probably would have made some new friends. It's all good, and you'd have really helped a charity.
Well, we've had so many people that have messaged us who have actually done this. People like Emma, who tweeted us, 5 minutes ago, just happened to say, started volunteering at my local Oxfam in March after hearing about 1 million hours on Radio 1. So far, I've volunteered for 28 hours. I love it.
That's great. Thank you so much. Now, Ollie, from Years and Years, heard about 1 Million Hours, came down to Radio 1 to chat to some volunteers to see what they had to say about their experiences. Kyle wasn't keen on being a volunteer at first, but Ollie chatted to him about what changed his mind.
Hello, this is Ollie from Years and Years. Radio 1's 1 Million Hours campaign wants to inspire as many of you as possible to donate your time to good causes. There are lots of great things about volunteering. As well as helping someone, you're going to put yourself in a brand new situation that can build your confidence and have a positive effect on your mental well-being. Today, I'm going to be talking to some volunteers about some of their experiences. So, at first, Kyle, you didn't want to be a volunteer, is that right?
Yeah, no, because I was sort of horrendously bullied and had no friends. And it was my mum forcing me to do it. The only reason I considered it is because I wanted to go camping. I'd never been. It was DOV.
Oh, Duke of Edinburgh.
Duke of Edinburgh. And then my DOV coordinator sort of sent me along to FAB.
What is FAB?
The main aim is to try and promote independence and incorporate people with disabilities and special needs into the wider community.
Yeah.
And then 6 years later, I'm a proper youth worker for kids with disabilities.
That's amazing.
I didn't want to volunteer, but if I didn't, my life would not be shaped the way it is now. That's also defined my A-levels, my degree. But it really has defined me as a person, defined my life and everything I've gone on to do since.
And you've been abroad, apparently, as well.
Yeah, I went to India and worked in a primary school. And it was shocking for me to find out that actually in that culture they have sort of no specialised disability classes or anything like that.
Oh, right.
So I ended up helping to establish a bit of a curriculum for them.
That's incredible. How would you persuade me if I was a bit unsure of volunteering?
I would say it has the potential to change your life if you are willing to let it. And if you are unsure, there is no harm in giving it a try.
There are so many benefits you can get out of volunteering. Pledge to one of our partner charities, Age UK, Oxfam, Barnardo's or Cancer Research, on the Radio 1 website. Or you can pledge to any cause that you like. Just tweet how many hours you'll donate using the hashtag 1 million hours.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
It's bangers time.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Normally in the afternoon when we're on, I pick one song daily. Chris also picks a song. We both believe them to be massive, massive anthems. We don't know what each other has picked. You come on and decide what gets played. I think I've got a good one today. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, well, I'm obviously going to say the same, Scott.
Hello, Aaron.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo. Whereabouts are you, please?
I'm in Ipswich.
Yes, to Ipswich. What are you doing today?
Not much, man. Today I'm with my dog, chilling, you know.
You're on your dog.
You're on your dog.
Sorry, I'm with my dog.
Got you. Okay. What's your dog called?
My dog is named aptly Scott Mills.
What?
Really?
How did he get through? Your dog is called Scott Mills.
Yeah, well, that's because you were telling me to name her. You told me to name him Scott Mills.
Oh, is this when we were doing like naming things, like the Scott Mills Bridge and that?
Exactly.
So does he respond when you go, Scott Mills, Scott Mills? Does he come running?
Yeah, but the thing is, my wife doesn't know that I do this.
Oh, so it's a pet name, literally a pet name that you give your dog.
Yes. So he does respond to Scott Mills, and occasionally I slip up when I'm at home, and she says, "What?" And I'm like, "Bentley, come here."
Oh, so it's actually called Bentley.
Actual name Bentley. Scott Mills when he's with me.
That's wicked.
How confusing for your dog.
Oh, he loves it.
No, but your dog's got a stage name.
It is good.
How glamorous.
Well, good. Okay, I've got this for you today, and I want you to love it.
Oh, it's a big one, this one, Scott.
Martin Garrix, Animals, I think, for the win today.
The thing is, I've chosen a wicked song, but I worry that makes it seem a little bit flaccid. Do you remember when Neo was on the show, Scott, and he taught me how to dance? It was to this song, and it was an amazing moment in my life. This is Neo, Let Me Love You.
Two good choices. Aaron.
Put me in a difficult situation here, boys.
It's a sticky one, isn't it?
It's a sticky situation.
It is a sticky one, because two, you know, quite different, but dancey songs.
I do a bit of DJing on the side, and both of those songs are regularly featured in my set list.
Oh.
So, you know, but to be honest, the one that gets people going the most, you know, you can't hide from it, really. I think it's the one I have to go with, boys.
Well, which one's that?
Don't need to be obvious. Just choose what you want. Remember, you're in charge here. You're not playing to a crowd.
That's true. So it's just me and my dog and me dancing to this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Gonna have to go with Let Me Love You.
Oh, yes. Why wasn't... I thought I had that in the bag.
Nice one, Aaron.
Rubbish. Much as you blame yourself, you can't be blamed for the way that you feel. I was robbed.
Well, quite a few people saying that, but then people always text in saying whoever lost has been robbed. Get this one.
But I really was.
Most of the time I pick Chris, but Scott has just had his pants pulled down.
Oh.
Robbed. That's Andy and Accrington.
I've never thought about it like that, but I have. Yeah. Okay, good. All right, well, I'll try again tomorrow on Bangers. That was Neo and Let Me Love You.
What's the score then this week? 3-1 to me?
Yeah, you're winning.
Yeah.
If I was ever going to get a win, it would be with that Martin Garrix tune. I can't believe it. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. Morning, Grace.
Morning.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Sharing it with the Queen.
I know, royalty.
Does it make you feel a little bit left out, though, because she's getting all the attention?
I know, it sucks a bit, but...
What's the plans for today, then?
Well, I'm going out to lunch and I'm going out to dinner, being a little socialite for the day.
Fabulous.
Same as the Queen.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Are you going to light a beacon?
Well, I think a bonfire is about as close as I'm going to get.
That's fine.
Light for a beacon.
Just light something. Whereabouts do you live?
I live in Somerset.
Okay, so it's your birthday, so the next song on Radio 1 is yours. What can I get on for you?
Feel So Close by Calvin Harris, please.
Yes, tune.
Did you hear earlier? He's got all the monies.
Yeah, I know.
And many, many more than Taylor Swift, which I was quite shocked about, actually.
Yeah. A power couple, isn't it?
Yes. Okay, I found it. It's on now. Have a good birthday.
Thank you.
Love you. Bye. I feel so close to you right now. It's a force field. The Scott Mills Daily. And good morning to our absolute favourite, Rachel Riley.
Morning!
Hello, you okay?
This is weird in the morning.
It is a bit, isn't it?
And I'm going to be very confused when I come out of here and it's still like 10 o'clock.
How come? Someone just told me you cycled here. How come you still look so good?
Why, thank you. Didn't break sweat. I'm doing a big charity cycle, so I'm trying to get on my bike at any opportunity. I've got about 6 weeks to go and it's 100K, so...
Oh, over how long?
Well, it starts at 9 p.m. at night. There's 3,000 women and hopefully it'll take about 5 hours. But we'll see. It goes up all like, it's basically the Queen's route. It's from Windsor up to the Queen's Palace and then back.
5 hours? That doesn't seem very long.
I thought you were going to say 5 weeks.
Oh, I hope it'll take.
100K?
Yeah. I don't know. There might be stops for cake, tea.
I'm not great at maths, Rachel. This is your thing.
Yeah.
100 divided by 5. Is that what you were going to try and work out?
So you'll have to cycle 20 kilometres an hour.
Boom.
Without any stops to get there on time.
Get him on countdown. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you. You
cycled here today. You don't look like you're in any way in pain or out of shape or got a sweat on or anything.
You look out of shape for
cycling. Some people, you see it at the BBC all the time. Some people, you can really tell they've cycled into work. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, the only problem with, you can cycle to work, but I'm not in the lycra. So I've been doing a few things because it's not raining at the moment, which is lovely. Ironic before innuendo bingo. Mm-hmm. I can just wear normal clothes, so I'm kind of feeling the saddle on just the jeans.
Yeah,
I was thinking of wearing lycra for you guys, but I've worn proper clothes today.
Oh well, next time. You didn't try use the showers here at the BBC, did you?
No.
Don't do that.
You don't want to go there.
Okay.
Hey, things have really moved up a gear since you last did Innuendo Bingo because it's now got its own standalone programme on BBC iPlayer.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So when you put on the telly, on the menu screen, it's up there with some of the greats. The Night Manager, EastEnders, News at 10, and then boom, right in the middle of it, Innuendo Bingo.
What BAFTA category? Get it
That's
in there.
That's such a good point.
What does it come under?
I'm writing that down.
Best... Is it a game show?
Best drama.
Yeah, it's a game show. Give me a BAFTA.
It's definitely daytime.
It's definitely... yeah, it is daytime.
So true. We could be up for BAFTAs because I'm big telly now.
Yeah. If it's on TV, surely it can be up for a BAFTA, Rachel. Is that right?
I think that's pretty much the rule, yeah.
Now,
you need your own category, possibly.
Yeah.
Countdown is responsible for quite a lot of innuendo in itself when these slightly rude words come up. How do you deal with that? Because I think whenever I see it, I think you deal with it extremely well, considering what the word is.
There was an interesting one that went viral a little while ago, and everyone said, you were amazing, you didn't laugh. But there's a very clever edit point. Whenever they cut back to the contestant and it's away from me, you know that I've gone. And by the time I've come back, my hair is covering my face. And I'm looking straight ahead, nothing to camera. So, the eagle-eyed viewer can spot those.
Oh, right. So we know that you've lost the plot when they just spend a lot of time looking at the contestants. When you're just in the corner, like, giggling away.
Yes. Also, you fly the flag for this game. So I think when you spot innuendos, you're very good at sort of directing people to send them in.
I'm quite good at work. There was a really good one on Match of the Day at the weekend.
Oh, I think we might have that one.
Oh, my. There was giggling. Oh, I
think
it.
I might have that one.
See, I'm playing my own game.
Yeah, you are. And also, you're one of our... like one of our most popular ever contestants on Innuendo Bingo. So it's great to have you back on today.
So, hopefully I'll be part of the BAFTA acceptance speech.
Absolutely. We will get you up on stage with us because you're one of the ones with the most views. So I think it would be you.
It's only right.
You, probably Hugh Jackman. He's played it.
I think Gerald Butler was one of the best.
Yeah. You'll be on stage with us, though, Rachel.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but you were one of the original sort of celebrities to play this
before
game.
You hit the big time, I was there for you guys.
Before it was on big telly. Okay, so we're going to get you in place now, guys, for today's Innuendo Bingo. If you want to watch this, then I would advise you to go to the Radio 1 website.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Rachel Riley's here. TV's Rachel Riley. Hello.
Hello.
I call you TV's Rachel Riley.
You know you've made it when someone can only say both names, not just Rachel. Rachel Riley.
I forgot to ask you, how's your lovely man, Dancing Pasha? That's what I call him.
Yeah, Dancing Pasha. He is dancing. He's on a big tour. So he's doing 74 dates all around the country at the moment. So dancing every night.
So when was the last time you saw him?
I see him for, ships that pass in the night, so a couple of hours in the night. He's coming home tonight. He's in somewhere in North London. But he's dancing.
Say hi from me, please.
I will. He says hi back.
When I was at my lowest moment as the crab, I was rehearsing next door to him with Caroline.
Heard.
And just provided me with a bit of support. Do you know what I mean?
My... No, he said you listened to what he said and instantly you were doing it.
Instantly,
you
I forgot it.
Did pass that along.
Yeah. I mean, I tried. You know, so you
well,
can do.
Well, week six.
week six.
Week of champions.
Yes. We're together on that week Hell six. Yeah. Okay, right. Get in position, please, for innuendo bingo. Let's do it. Rachel's on.
It's time to witness the wetness. This is innuendo bingo.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this today. Rachel Riley is back on innuendo bingo. Watch on the Radio 1 website. Good to be back, eh, Rach?
Oh, I remember this bin fondly.
We should name this bin after you, no offence.
I mean the Rachel Riley bin. Actually.
In honour.
Not sure about that.
Okay.
Thanks anyway.
All right, so we have got some new clips and some classics today, which I think you'll enjoy. First up, let's head to BBC Breakfast, where they're celebrating the Queen's birthday all week with a series of special guests. Now, out of all the presenters, I think Carol Kirkwood gets the best deal.
In this series, Ainsley Harriott cooks up a coronation treat in London.
Come on, let's wave together then, Ralph.
Oh, look at them!
Carol Kirkwood meets the pint-sized pony who munched on Her Majesty.
Oh, straight in the face there for Rachel, unfortunately.
How was that? Okay, well, round one, I don't think I can get any wetter.
Already?
Oh, lucky. Carol gets all the best gigs, doesn't she?
I know. This very same pony.
She gets to meet a pint-sized pony.
Yeah.
Yeah, that munched on Her Majesty.
Carol Kirkwood meets the pint-sized pony who munched on Her Majesty.
Thank you. I don't even know what it means. Thank you to Mark for that one. And now, let's go back to Chris Evans on Radio 2. If you could refill your waters, please.
Thanks, Chris.
Get him, Rachel. Get him. Chris Evans is sharing a recent experience from filming Top Gear with his newsreader, Moira Stewart. Judging from Moira's question, I'm not sure she really understands the format of Top Gear.
Instead of, like, honking his horn or you know, revving his engine, he pulled over to the side of the road, went for a walk.
No, 25 that's what you call civilised.
Yeah, 25 Yay. Minutes later he came back and he said, so you're finished? I said, yeah. He said, I'll be on my way then.
And you didn't take him for a quick nosh?
Oh, Chris.
Moira Stewart.
What did she mean?
I don't. I think a bite to eat is what she meant there.
And you didn't take him for a quick nosh?
That's like a Nick Hewer Turner phrase.
Isn't it? Yes.
It's almost.
It's for posh people.
It almost makes sense. But...
Yes. And now, water, please.
Oh.
Sorry about this, Rachel.
Already. Waterproof mascara.
We're going over to Channel 4's Countdown. And contestant Anne is really pleased with her seven-letter word. Although host Nick Hewer has to ask the question.
Anne.
Just a seven.
A seven from Anne. Neville.
Six.
And that's six.
Sinner.
Anne.
Fannies.
Thank you very much. Can we beat a fanny?
Oh, come on, Nick. Come on.
Double one there for you. Two sprays.
Couldn't beat a fanny.
Couldn't.
Can we beat a fanny?
Thanks, Nick. And thank you to James for that one.
You could get shirts made up for that.
Can you imagine? Cavos 2016.
Can we beat a fanny?
Now we're going back to Match of the Day on BBC One.
Oh, I love this.
I think this is your one, Rachel, that you liked. Don't really get football, but I think from this commentary, I mean, we said this the other day, is fullback the most popular position to play in?
He's got too much for Oviedo there, and he's so confident. And when you're a fullback in that position, it's an absolute nightmare. And he's comfortable there with the ball at his feet and a man up his backside.
The best part of that is if you listen, because they're live, you can hear Jermaine Genus just giggling. Like, off camera, but on mic.
Good spray there from Rachel. It's because you knew what was coming. That's a great one. Yeah. Match of the day there.
He's comfortable there with the ball at his feet and a man up his backside.
More water, please. It's innuendo bingo with Rachel Riley. Now we're going over to... You heard of this show, Rachel? The Gadget Show on Channel 5. Normally on that show, of course, they're testing out the latest gadgets. So imagine my surprise when I heard what Chloe and John got up to in this episode.
And while Francesca underwent her exfoliating facial treatment, Chloe braced herself for a facial from John.
Jason Bradbury. Oh dear.
Oh no, your makeup's doing the crying girly thing.
Real water.
Yeah.
Chloe and John there testing out the latest beauty treatments.
Chloe braced herself for a facial from John.
And now,
who wrote that?
And now, over to BBC Radio Solent.
Oh no, it's in my pants. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm the same.
Reached the pants now, hasn't it?
It's on Halloween.
BBC Radio Solent and legendary round the world yachtsman Sir Robin Knox Johnston has a very special way of thanking all the sailors when they finally. What, Chris? Oh no, it's going to be one of them. Water, please. Sir Robin Knox Johnston, a special way of thanking all the sailors when they finally finish the race.
A little birdie tells me actually there was a very special welcome for the crews as they crossed the finishing line this morning.
Well, I decided that I would take my cannon out and salute each of them as they came across the finish line. So I did. My quarter scale 32 pounder.
Oh, Rachel. Can't even open her eyes anymore.
He would take his cannon out.
I know.
Well, I decided that I would take my cannon out and salute each of them.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Steve in Southampton sent that one in.
Oh, what an honour.
And more water, please. Hello, if you're watching at work at the moment. Laura is, and so is Dan. And Chloe, hi. Now it's over to the snooker coverage on the BBC.
Sorry, I was watching quite a bit of snooker yesterday, and there was all sorts of stuff going on with the pink ball.
Right.
Which I will send in.
You should have written in, yeah.
I will send in.
Thanks for your efforts. Oh, I might put that one in the bingo, I forgot. Actually works on the show. Okay. Water, right. Please.
Come on.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. I'm not a massive mad expert on snooker, but surely this must lose you points.
It's playing safe off this red. And I catch it just right, though. Dreaded kiss on the brown.
For that, you have to have a proper filthy mind to figure that out.
Dreaded kiss on the brown.
No one wants that. Water, please. Oh, we've got one more. I'm sorry, Rachel. Did you bring spare clothes?
I brought a change of top.
Oh, come on. You, you know better than to
do
that
by now. Well, I'm cycling
now.
Back, so it will be like an, you know...
Okay. It's a kind of an amateur move from someone that's played the game so much.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
One more.
I had to buy new clothes once.
Did you? Oh, no. Water, please.
I've got a pig onesie. That's dried out, if you want that.
Straight in the face there. You deserve that, Chris.
Did you say a pig onesie?
Yeah.
Why?
It's dried out now.
Don't know.
Just in case.
Water, please.
Okay. Thanks for the offer.
Now, can you take some water, please, Chris? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm. As we all know, police horses work very hard. Mm-hmm. And this one in particular, works.
Oh, no, not the Rihanna.
Very hard.
Not the horse.
He's been a police horse for about 12, 13 years. He's very busy. We know that he polices pop concerts, huge crowds. What else does he do? Yeah, he was in Rihanna last night.
And that is today's Indiana Bingo with Rachel Riley. I'm so sorry, you're so wet through.
Well played.
Oh, okay. My word. Okay, one more song till Clara Amfo. Thank you, Rachel.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Those are Thursday's best bits. We're back tomorrow from 6:30, and joining us from 8, Troye Sivan.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.